grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All Saints Day. You know, I was thinking about how to introduce this, because this is an ancient festival of the church. But for those of you who grew up Roman Catholic in here, what is All Saints Day to you? Or did you even know?
Remembering the dead.
You were Lutheran. Okay, you remember the dead, but for the most part, the purpose of All Saints Day is to pray for the people in purgatory and shorten their time. Okay? Well, this festival goes back to ancient times, and it is a day that we remember the dead. Okay, many churches actually read the names of the people in their congregation who have died that year. It's a chance to remember the saints who have gone to glory. Now, let me talk about this holiday just a little bit to you. First of all, when we talk about purgatory, folks, purgatory did not even exist until between 1060 and 1080. So what happened in that first 1,000 years of the church? Didn't you have to pray people out? Yes.
The Catholic Church had a building program.
That's right.
They didn't have a building program.
I'm sorry.
No, but that's what I talked about last week, too. But you know, when you had that first 1,000 years of the church, if you didn't celebrate praying people out of purgatory, what did you do? Well, you remember the saints, okay, the people that had died. Well, during the Reformation, if purgatory only came about after the year 1000, and in the year 1500, in the Reformation, they said, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to go back to the ancient practices of the church, which makes sense, doesn't it? You know, if Jesus died for us and we have people that work for Jesus, isn't it good just remember them for what they did for the Lord? So that's what All Saints Day is for us. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, the verse, let the little children come to me, for to such of them is the kingdom of heaven. Now, where in it does it say in that verse, we cannot go past jail and move directly to go and collect $200? Why does the church have a monopoly on salvation? Should I get the jar?
Yes.
Was that pretty bad?
Yes.
Okay, I had to work on that one. But do you see my point? Why do we have to pray to someone under Jesus who will then relay our prayers unto him? Can't we just pray to Jesus or God the Father or the Holy Spirit? Where in the Bible does it tell us we can't do that? And that was important. That's why All Saints Day, for us especially, doesn't mean you can't pray to the saints. Okay? But you don't have to pray to them to relay your prayers to Jesus because you're unworthy to go to Jesus. You're all worthy to pray to Jesus. But what about the people who work tirelessly in God's kingdom, who aren't popes or cardinals or pastors? Don't they get recognized too? Oh yeah, they do in heaven. What about here? Who remembers them? Well, part of the thing is that is so important about All Saints Day is that we recognize all who have worked for the Lord. And the night before that, this used to be called All Hallows Day. And the day before that was All Hallows Eve. Hallowe'en. With me? That's why we wear costumes and things like that on Halloween, because we are remembering the dead. Okay? Although it's gotten a little bit out of hand, but what the heck, candy is good. So what did Daniel say again? But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. wonder if you could be a little more clear about that. But Jesus died for all the saints, okay? Not for the ones that are important, but for the little peon who works for him day in and day out. You know, it's just like people like you and me who toil for our Heavenly Father. I got to admit this week, there was a thing on Facebook making the rounds, and Gene Meniga posted it. It's called The Story of the Red Marble. How many have read it this week? Two. Let me share this with you, because it's a perfect example of what we're talking about. We hear stories every day about people making a difference in a quiet and unassuming way. Those are the everyday heroes, being leaders by demonstrating caring and compassion without looking for anything in return. We can make a difference, and there are so many ways. We need to keep our eyes open for the opportunities that are put in front of us, no matter how small, and accept every chance we have to do something good. For those who have this inherent awareness and desire, living their values is an important part of who they are. And this story is a beautiful example of that. I was at the corner grocery store buying some potatoes, and I noticed a small boy, ragged but clean, hungrily appraising a basket of freshly picked green peas. Well, I paid for my potatoes, but was also drawn to the display of fresh green peas. Now, I'm a pushover for green peas and new potatoes, and pondering the peas, I couldn't help but overhearing the conversation between Mr. Miller, the store owner, and the ragged boy next to me. "Hi, Barry, how are you today?" "Well, Mr. Miller, fine, thank you. Them peas sure look good." "Well, they are good, Barry. How's your ma?" "Fine, getting stronger all the time." "Good. Anything I can help you with?" "No, sir, just admiring them peas." "Would you like to take some home?" said Mr. Miller. "No, sir. Got nothing to pay for them with." "What have you got to trade me for them peas?" "Well, all's I got is my marble, my prize marble here." "Well, is that right? Let me see it," said Mr. Miller. "Here it is. She's a dandy." "Well, I can see that. The only thing is that this one is blue, and I sort of go for red. Do you have a red one like this at home?" The store owner asks. "Well, not exactly, but almost. I'll tell you what. Take this sack of peas home with you, and next trip this way, let me look at that red marble," Mr. Miller told the boy. "I sure will. Thanks, Mr. Miller." Mrs. Miller, who had been standing nearby, came over to help me, and with a smile, she said, "There are two other boys like him in our community. All three are in very poor circumstances. Jim just loves to bargain with them for peas, apples, tomatoes, whatever. When they come back with red marbles, as they always do, he decides he doesn't like red after all, and sends them home with a bag of produce for a green marble or a blue one when they come on their next trip to the store." Well, I left the store smiling to myself, impressed with this man. Short time later, I moved to Colorado, but I never forgot the story of this man, the boys, and their bartering for marbles. Years went by, well, each more rapid than the previous one, until I recently had occasion to visit some old friends in that Idaho community. While I was there, I learned that Mr. Miller had died and they were having his visitation that evening. Knowing my friends wanted to go, I agreed to accompany them. And upon arriving at the mortuary, we got in line to meet the relatives of the deceased and to offer whatever words of comfort we could. Ahead of us in line were three young men. One was in an army uniform, and the other two had nice haircuts, dark suits, and white shirts. All were very professional looking. They approached Mrs. Miller, standing composed and smiling by her husband's casket. Each of the men hugged her, kissed her on the cheek, spoke briefly with her, and then moved on to the casket. Her misty, light blue eyes followed them as, one by one, each young man stopped briefly and placed his own warm hand over the cold, pale hand in the casket. Each left the mortuary awkwardly, wiping his eyes. Our turn came to meet Mrs. Miller. I told her who I was and reminded her of the story from those many years ago in which she had told me about her husband bartering for marbles. With her eyes glistening, she took my hand and led me to the casket. Those three young men who just left were the boys I told you about. They just told me how they appreciated the things Jim traded. Now at last, when Jim could not change his mind about color or size, they came to pay their debt. We've never had a great deal of wealth in this world, she confided, but right now, Jim would consider himself the richest man in Idaho. And with loving gentleness, she lifted the lifeless fingers of her deceased husband, resting underneath were three exquisitely shiny red marbles. And the moral of this, we will not be remembered by our words, but by our kind deeds. Did Mr. Miller make a difference in the world? You bet. Have you made a difference in someone's life? I hope so. Can you continue to make a difference in the future? Would Jesus be happy with that difference? I think so too. Because Jesus made a difference for us when he went and died on that cross for us. Mr. Miller didn't have to die to make that difference. He just cared. And that He let that caring show, and he brought God's grace to others. And he certainly made a difference in the lives of those boys. May the cross of our Lord and Savior make a difference in your life today, tomorrow.